Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible clearly teaches the Son of God as God. This is the concept of the deity. There is nothing like it in our experience. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one in essence, but three in persons. One in essence, three in persons.
You may believe by faith that Jesus is God, Son of God the Father, but can you point to the scriptures that prove that is true? Today, we look at the deity of Jesus and the fact that he is the Son of God and was sent here to this earth to suffer and die for our sins. Here's Robert Furrow with part two of our teaching out of Luke 22, 63 through 71.
People over the years have said, well, Son of Man is a God's declaration. I hear this all the time. I heard it recently from a pastor. The Son of Man is a declaration of his humanity. Son of God is a declaration of his divinity. That's wrong. Both of them are declarations of his divinity. And the reason is because of Daniel chapter 7. He says, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of God and coming on the clouds of glory. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel's seeing all of these different visions of all of these different kingdoms of the world. They would represent the Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, the Greek kingdom, the Roman kingdom, and then the final kingdom that is yet to be established in the world. The Antichrist will rule over a renewing of the Roman Empire. And so Daniel, though in the middle of that, he sees this vision. This is the Old Testament, which is amazing. He sees this vision of God's fiery chariot. It's got wheels. It's like a hot rod chariot. Listen to what it says in Daniel 7, 9 through 10. I watched till there was put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow. Now, who is the Ancient of Days? Got to be the Father, right? So the Ancient of Days is seated. His robe is white, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. No wonder we like fast cars, or no wonder I like fast cars. It goes on to say, and a fiery stream issued forth from before it, and thousands of thousands ministered to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated, and the books were opened. So Daniel, all of a sudden, in the midst of seeing all of these different animals representing different kingdoms, he now sees the kingdom with the Ancient of Days on the throne, thousands of thousands ministering to him, 10,000 of the 10,000s worshiping him. And then this, Daniel 7:13. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. So while Daniel was looking, he saw in the clouds coming the Son of Man. The Son of Man literally means a human. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was given power, dominion, and a kingdom. And to his kingdom, there would be no end. So what Jesus declares in front of Caiaphas is, but from here on out, you'll see the Son of Man in power and the kingdom coming on the clouds of glory. In the book of Mark, he also says, I am, which means it's ego a me in the Greek. And I am is the form of the Old Testament name of God, I exist or I am, what would be the tetragrammaton. So Jesus is revealing now at this lowest moment of his suffering, as they are beginning to beat him, he's now revealing what he has refused to reveal earlier, which is his deity. And remember, the passages I just read you are the Old Testament. They're not the New Testament. This is the complexity of God in the Old Testament. that you've got the Ancient of Days and you have thrones and you've got a Son of Man who is a human coming and joining him and ruling and reigning together. And Jesus reveals this not while he's feeding the 5,000, not at the Sermon on the Mount where he's got thousands that are listening to him, but while he is being beaten. In verse 70, then they all said, "Are you the Son of God?" Now, these are the religious elite, and they know that the Son of Man is a reference to his deity. And so now they ask him directly, "Are you the Son of God?" And he said to them, "Yes, you say that I am." Again, ego, a me, which is in the Septuagint, which is the Greek copy of the Old Testament, when Moses says to the angel of the Lord in the burning bush, "Who shall I say has sent me?" God said, and this is in the Septuagint, "Tell them, ego a me has sent you, and that ego a me will be with you." So I am that I am has sent you, and I am will be with you wherever you go. So Jesus tells them, "I am the Son of God. You rightly say that I am ego a me." The Septuagint was read by all of these scribes and scholars. Yes, they read the Hebrew Bible, but they also read the Greek Septuagint. Often in the New Testament, the quotes that we get are not from the Hebrew Bible, from Paul, from Peter, from others. The quotes of the Old Testament come from the Septuagint. They're giving us the Greek copy because that was the common language of their day. And so Jesus declares to be the Son of God. Now, I've had a few people over the years tell me, "Well, Jesus is the Son of God. He's not God. You have a son, and your son isn't you." So years ago, I was talking to a relative on Lisa's side of the family, my late wife, Lisa, and he was involved in an aberrant group. This is a group that teaches something that is different and outside of Christianity. So I would always argue with him about this aberrant teaching. He wanted to argue about it more than I did, but we would argue about it. And one day in the course of that argument, I said something about Jesus being God. And he said to me, "Jesus is not God, he is the Son of God." And I did one of these. "No, Jesus is God." And he said, "No, he's the Son of God." And all of a sudden I realized he does not know as much as he thinks he knows. He doesn't know as much as I thought he knew. And I'm dealing now with most likely a non-believer, not someone that's a part of a group that's a believer that believes an aberrant teaching, which I think a lot of people in this group are genuine Christians. I suddenly realize he doesn't know Christ. He hasn't done enough Bible study to know that the Son of God is God. And I want to do that work with you today to show you the Bible clearly teaches the Son of God as God. This is the concept of the deity. There is nothing like it in our experience. There is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are one in essence, but three in persons. One in essence, three in persons. And you say, "Well, I don't understand that." Welcome to the club. Theologians have been trying to describe this for thousands of years, and it is clearly taught in Scripture, even though we might not be able to wrap our minds completely around it. So in Hebrews 1:1-5, he's quoting an Old Testament passage, Psalms 45. And he says in Hebrews 1:5, and in chapter 1 of Hebrews, he's talking about the supremacy of Jesus over the angels. The angels are awesome, but Jesus is far more superior than them. So in verse 5, it says, "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you'?" So now we have a son being begotten. This is not uncommon. We have Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." So the fact that God is going to have a son is clearly taught in the Old Testament. So he says, "And he shall be to me a son." Then verse 6, "But when he brings the firstborn into the world," and the firstborn there is the right of the firstborn, not the first person ever born, Because some say that before Adam and Eve were created, that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. No, it's the right of the firstborn. In their day, if you had several boys that were born, your firstborn boy got it all and the rest of them got leftovers. Now, it's worded differently than that, but that's basically what happens. Jesus is the firstborn and we are co-inheritors with him and we have everything. So he says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all of the angels of God worship him. Now, if the angels of God are worshiping the Son of God, then you would go A plus B equals C. He is God. Okay? But we've got more than that. We've got more than just God commanding the angels to worship him. It says, and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels servants and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, a scepter of your kingdom. So God says to his Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. God calls the Son of God God. And Jesus, by saying, it is as you say, I am ego a me, he is making a statement to them that I am God. From here on out, when people say to me, Jesus never claimed to be God, I'm going to go, how much time do you got? Because let's take a look at a few passages. It's just that Jesus didn't reveal it in the beginning of his ministry. He didn't reveal it the most popular time of his ministry. He revealed it when he is arrested and bound and being beaten, because when he reveals his deity, you say, well, why, if you are God, are you here? It reveals his sacrifice, that God has come and sacrificed himself when he is revealing his deity at this particular point in time. Now, let me read you a part of Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is another messianic psalm, not because I say it's messianic, but because Jewish scholars have said it is messianic for thousands of years. Here's what it says. It talks about the Son of God. Again, the Old Testament spoke of God having a son. This is Psalms 2. It's the Old Testament. I will decree the decree. This is Psalms 2:7. I will decree the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So in other words, we got another begotten son. Verse 8, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and to the end of the earth your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron and you shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. This is millennium lingo. Because remember, there's a rebellion at the end of the millennium, and Jesus will subdue that rebellion, all right? So he's gone all the way to millennium lingo. Then verse 10, now therefore be wise, O kings of the earth. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. He says to all the kings of the earth, be wise. Make things right with Christ. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. In your way, and you perish in your way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. And then he says this, blessed are all of those who put their trust in him. This Son of God who will be begotten. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. You know what I think of when I hear that? I think of Billy Graham, who at every altar call he ever did, have you trusted Christ? He would say. Have you put your trust in Christ? Have you invited him in? Have you said, Lord, I want to live for you. I'm done living for myself. I want the work that you want for me. This is the reason that you were created. This is the reason that you were made, to have a relationship with him. You weren't made to live for yourself. You weren't made to live for your own comforts. You weren't made to live so that you could achieve what you want in your life. You were made to live for him. Paul put it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. And remember, Paul had achieved a lot of things on the human level. And so then finally it says in verse 71, and they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from our own mouths. Now, they're upset. This is blasphemy. If you read all of the Gospels, after Jesus says, yes, I am the Son of God, ego me, they tear their clothes and they are upset and they cry blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Well, a lot. Because you guys can't be a witness either. You weren't supposed to cross-examine him. So now you think you've got the smoking gun, him declaring to be God in the flesh, and you think, now what further need do we have? Well, you got to figure something out. This is all going to backfire on them. Now, when I've pointed this particular passage out to those Jehovah Witnesses who didn't believe it, and this is in their Bible. Remember, John 1 has been changed in their Bible. They go in and they change their Bible when they find areas. So this is still in their Bible. So when you point this out to them and you show them here that God calls him God in this particular section, they said, well, that's not what it's saying. They'll just deny. It's kind of like Bill Clinton, deny everything. So they're just denying. No, that's not saying that he's God. I'm like, it just said that God just called him God. What do you mean he's not God? So then my next question is, why were they so upset then? Why did they cry out blasphemy? If he's not saying he's God, what's the blasphemy? Why do they tear their clothes? And why is the next step for them to bring him to Pilate to have him killed? If Jesus has not declared, by declaring that he is the Son of Man and the Son of God, as being Christ. This is a very powerful moment that took place in the humility of Christ, in him declaring himself to be God, because he wanted us to know that the one who is God came to die for us. Three things in closing. Number one, Jesus is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. In fact, he's all four of the suffering servant passages. And that becomes very clear when you go back to read them. Number two, Jesus is the Son of Man of Daniel chapter 7. This is something all of us should know, read, get it in our arsenal when we can begin to share with people, because you have this complexity of God. You've got the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man coming on clouds joining together, but the Son of Man is given the kingdom, the power, the dominion forever and ever. The Ancient of Days serves with him, but it is the Son of Man that joins him. And so you've got to ask, if you believe that there is no deity, no complexity in the Godhood, then who is the Son of Man that's joining him? Number three, Jesus is the Son of God in Psalms chapter 2, which gives a portion of the gospel there, make things right with the Son. Put your trust in him. And everyone needs to do it. And I'll ask you that question today at the end of this study. Have you put your trust in Christ? Have you said, I want to live for you? Listen, God's got a purpose for you. The Bible says, whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. We don't believe that God's moving in time, looking down the corridor of time, looking at you and going, oh, I know you're going to receive Christ, so I'm going to make a plan for you. We believe that God is outside of time, that time is happening at a different rate for him, almost at the same time for him while we are going through it. And God knows whether or not you will accept or reject. And whether, even if you reject it, you were still made to know him. You were made to have that relationship with him. You were made to do the work that God's called you to do. A lot of people are just living their lives for themselves. They want to be as comfortable as they can, as soon as they can. They want to get into retirement as fast as they can and just live the comfortable lifestyle. But you will never be fulfilled, whether you're 25 or 65, you will never be fulfilled living for yourself. It is only when you say, I am yours. And remember Billy Graham's song, we talked about him earlier, that he would have people come forward with, just as I am. You come to God just as you are. You don't have to go take a shower before you go to God. You come to him just as you are, and then he transforms you. You become a new creature in Christ, and he empowers you with the Holy Spirit, and he sends you out like light and salt into the world, and God begins to open doors, and you begin to water seeds, and pretty soon you're amazed as you see the hand of God all around you. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Clearly, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He gave his life for you so you could live now for him and live throughout eternity with him. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the revelation that we have in these two passages, which is absolutely amazing, where Jesus declares that he is the Son of Man, getting the Sanhedrin upset and asking him if he's the Son of God, to which he lets them know he is, and he is, I am, ego me, the existent one. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have this understanding clearly, added to all of the other passages that tell us that Jesus is God, Jesus himself declaring that he is. We want to live for him. We want our lives to be caught up in him. Lord, forgive us for living for ourselves and help us that we can live for you, because that's what we have been called to. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you're here today and you would like to give your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to receive him. I want to invite him in. I want to live for him. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. So just lift your hand up now. God bless you, ma'am, right over here. God bless you, ma'am, in the front. Your hand went up immediately. God bless you, ma'am, right by the aisle. And God bless you there, the child there. God bless you. How sweet, ma'am. God bless you. And your hand also behind that. God bless you. That's great. The man back by the back wall. That's awesome. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. I'm ready to live for him. I'm done living for myself. And I now am going to live for my Creator, my Savior. Just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to live for him. I'm ready. All right, you could put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.